A good Erev Shabbos, everybody. It is Parshas Vayetze, and the topic of today's shiur is the heart of stone. So, what heart of stone are we talking about over here? We're talking about potentially a human heart could be as hard as stone. Let's take a look at what that has to do with this week's Parsha. So, we come early in the Parsha, after Yaakov leaves his father's and mother's house to go to Padan Aram to find a wife. The Medrash says that he took a 14-year detour to learn at Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, but whatever the case may be, he is on the way now to the house of Lavan and Besuel, to his mother's brother and his mother's nephew, and Hashem gives him what seems to be some very fine promises about how everything's going to work out. And he's going to be watched, and Hashem is going to make sure he'll be able to return back to this place. Then Yaakov makes a neder after he gets the news. And that's Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Chaf. Vayida Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov made a neder. Im yiyeh elokim imadi, if Hashem will be with me. Ushmorani baderech hazeh, and he will watch me on this way. Asher anochi holech, that I am going. Menosan li lechem lecho, umbel get lulbosh, etc., etc. Hashem will give me food to eat and clothing to wear. So there are a couple of textual problems with this pasuk, and also a bigger problem. The textual problem is there's a lot of verbiage over here. Ushmorani baderech hazeh asher ani holech. He will watch me on this way that I am going. I think it would be sufficient to say ushmorani. We know he's going on the derech. Ushmorani baderech. Ushmorani baderech hazeh asher ani holech. A lot of verbiage over there. So we'll look at that soon. And also, there's another textual problem. V'nosan li lechem lecho ubega bubosh. He'll give me food to eat and clothing to wear. So the Kli Yakov says, well, what do you think? He's going to give you food to wear and clothing to eat? So what do you mean food to eat and clothing to wear? So that's another textual problem. And there's a bigger problem, which is that why is Yaakov making a neder and saying, if Hashem give this to me, then, you know, I will fill the neder. Hashem just promised he was going to do it. You know, usually when you're in an ace tzara, it's permitted to make a neder, maybe even considered the right thing to make a neder. You're in an ace tzara, and you're in a difficult situation. You make the neder, so Hashem will count it as if you already did it, and you have an extra schus, and then that becomes a source of salvation. Just the pasuk before, Yaakov was already promised that he was going to be taken care of. So some mafarshim say that it's not really a prayer that something should happen. It's rather when. Sometimes the word im doesn't mean if, it can mean when. Like im kesef talva es ami. It doesn't mean if you're going to lend my people money. You will. It's a mitzvah. It means when you lend people money. Anyway, the point is, so some people say that, but the Kli Yakov ties it all together in a very interesting way. He addresses the textual problems. He addresses the overall problem of what is Yaakov actually davening for if he already was going to get it anyway. And let's take a look. Chalila lomar, heaven forbid, we should say, Shehaya Yaakov mesupak b'avtochas Hashem yizbarach, that Yaakov would be in some way in doubt over Hashem's promise. Ki kvar amar lo Elokim, v'hineh anochi imcha u'shmartich b'cho asher teilech. Hashem already promised him that I'll be with you and I will guard you. Ela bira inyan. So what is the explanation? Hu she Yaakov lo bikesh klal al shmiras haguf shekvar huvtach bo. Yaakov was not requesting any type of physical protection because that was already assured to him. Ela bikesh achshuv al shmiras hanefesh min achet. Yaakov actually was referring over here to be protected from sin. Ra'ed al zeh, and what's the proof? Ki b'avtachas Hashem Yisbaruch Nehemar Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. When Hashem promises Yaakov, he says a lashon of, I will watch you and everywhere you go. V'Yaakov omar, Ushmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi holech. Yaakov says, like we said, a rather long sentence, which is, he will watch me on the way that I am going. If it was divine protection, physical protection, he should ask that I should be protected every which way I go. But that's what we're not talking about over here. And gami las anochi yuseris lagamri. And what's the word anochi? So the answer is that when you go on a spiritual path, so there's the right path. So that's what he means to say, that Ushimani b'derech hazeh, that he'll watch me on this way, that as I'm taking this path, and as I'm going to the house of Lavan, that he'll protect me spiritually. And Anochi is because I'm going to choose. Now he explains how that works. He says that because really, let's skip a few lines for the sake of time. He says, Kizeh davar hatoli b'bechiroso shel adam. Whether a person succeeds spiritually or not is dependent on a man's choice. V'tzarach gam ezer eloki, and they also need help from Hashem. Shekein yispalu David, like we saw David prayed in Kuf Yud Tes, Ha'aver einai mer'oshav. Let my eyes not see falsely. Let me not be basically influenced by false influences. So according to the Klei Yakar, Yaakov is davening over here that Hashem should watch him spiritually, that he should not sin, even though he's going to the house of Lavan, and that's Aderech Asher Anochi Holech, the way in which I go as a person, because it's my choice, and as I make those choices, also please guide me that I should have protection and I should not sin. And that's why he also says a lashon that Yaakov says, El Beis Avi. Hashem says, just I'll return you back to this land. But Yaakov says El Beis Avi because he's saying, I'll come back to, you know, the spiritual heritage of my father, that even though I'll have been gone and I'll have been with Lavan and on all these different adventures, that I'll come back to the home of my father. Again, a reference to a spiritual return. And lastly, he also notes about the beged lilbosh and lechem lechol, as the Klei Yakar says, well, what is he going to do? He's gonna eat clothes and wear food? No, he meant that the most important thing for a tzaddik is to have the right amount. And he mentions here a pasuk. He mentions, let's see here, he says that he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Lamed, pasuk Ches, Rosh v'osher al titen li. Don't make me poor and don't make me rich. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Give me my appropriate portions of food. So that's what Yaakov wanted. Yaakov didn't want to be poor, because if you're poor, the Klei Yakar explains, you have to chan from people and you have to be dependent on people and you won't be able to be strong. And if you're too wealthy, you'll become arrogant and you become lazy. So he should have just the right amount. He should have beged lilbosh, the right amount of clothes to wear, lechem lechol, and the right amount of food. So Yaakov was davening for a spiritual shmirah. The way the Klei Yakar learns, he's asking for nothing physical. Hashem already promised him physical protection. He's saying over here that even though it's derech shanochi aleich, even though it's the way that I go, because morality is a human choice, I'm davening that you should help me and guide me, which seems to be legitimate. So, of course, this returns to a very common theme. We've spoken about it many times. It's an important theme for people that are working on compulsive or addictive behaviors, which is that we need to have the will. We need to have the will to do the right thing, and then we need to pray to have the help to do the right thing, that you need both. You need Derech Shanochi Hil Holech, the way that you go, the way that you choose to go, because it must be a choice. There must be the will, and then you also need Hashem to answer your prayers. Now, an interesting thing happens right after that incident. Yaakov comes upon a well where there Shlosha Edrei Tzon, where there are three flocks, and the stone is on the well. And when Yaakov sees Rachel, he lifts the stone up from the well, and he gives everybody a drink, according to the Medrash. We all learned this when we were children, right? That the stone was extremely heavy. The shepherds put a heavy stone on the well to conserve resources so no one person could sneak and take the water. Everybody had to go together and lift the stone together, so this way everybody would share the water. I don't know if it actually was a well. It might have been a cistern, which means it collected rainwater. I don't know how it worked, but anyway, whatever it was, that was the system. But Yaakov, when he saw Rachel, he was able by himself to just lift the stone up and feed everybody, give everybody to drink. And the Mefarshim, the Midrashim, nobody leaves this alone on a simple level, but sees this as a metaphor for many things. So you can look in the Ramban, for example. The Ramban says that the Be'er, the well, is the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shlosha Edrei Tzon are the Shalosh Regalim, that the Jews would come every regal to get spiritual sustenance from the well. And there's other metaphors. Everybody takes a piece of this and learns some kind of metaphor regarding the well and the stone. But I wanted to, if I may, offer another way of understanding this metaphor-laden group of passages. Because Yaakov, as we said before, he was davening for this spiritual protection. And he wanted to fight against whatever forces that would stop that protection. And what might that be? So the stone that's on top of the well, right? If the well represents a flowing of blessing, mayim, mayim chayim, mayim is Torah, right? The stone represents something that blocks that. So the Medrash Rabbah, in a rather long piece that talks about many other things, does note, ha'evin gedola ze yetzahara. The stone is the yetzahara. The stone on top of the well is the evil inclination. If you want to know where that comes up in Tanakh, so for example, in Yechezkel, Perek Yud Aleph, I think also on Lamed Vav, but in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yates, it says, "Nasati lohem lev echod," I will give them one heart, ruach hadasha, and a new spirit attain bekerbechem. I'll put in your midst, vasirosi leva evan mibisarim, I will remove from them the heart of stone from them, v'nasati lohem lev basar, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Obviously, it's a metaphor, because if somebody really had a stone for a heart, he wouldn't be alive. But Yechezkel's speaking poetically and saying, Hashem is saying to the Jewish people that I'm going to give you a new spirit, a ruach hadasha, a new spirit, and a lev basar, and a heart of flesh. The Malbim explains this in greater detail and points out that there's two things mentioned over here, lev and ruach. And he says that the ruach represents the more animal impulses. The ruach is the basic life force that inhabits the person. And so he says that a man is conflicted because he has his lev, which over here the Malbim understands as the intellectual seat, the rational properties, and those could reach toward great things, understanding, Torah, Midos, etc. And then there's the ruach, which is the more animal life drives, which represent jealousy, revenge, taiva, sexual desire. So the pasuk here is, and the Malbim says that usually, right, you have these two things floating around, that the ruach pushes the lev, and the lev pushes the ruach, and it's a war, and oftentimes the ruach can win and overcome the lev. But he says that Yechezkel is promising there'll be such a time where there'll be a ruach hadasha, that the ruach itself will be of a different nature, that it won't be so filled with an inclination only toward evil, and also the lev will be more receptive. It won't be like stone, it'll be like a heart of flesh and blood. Anyway, the point is, having said all that, this stone that was on the bear represents the leva evan, the heart of stone that's inside a person that holds them back from the spiritual blessing. So Yaakov is praying to Hashem that Hashem should protect him spiritually, and then he comes to this, right? He comes to this bear, this wonderful resource, but it's all stopped up, right? The wonderful resource is the spiritual shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's all stopped up. And when he sees Rachel, his wife-to-be, he's overcome with some special energy, and he's able to with great strength, remove the stone, so to overcome that barrier. So what remains to understand is, what are the three flocks then, if I'm already playing around with this metaphor and, using it toward this end? So what are the three flocks? So interestingly, if you look at the Sifarno, Perchav Tes Pasuk Yudches, he makes an observation about Yaakov and his attempt to marry Rachel. And he wonders, why does Yaakov want to work for Lavan? Why not just ask to marry Rachel? After all, they're family. Not such a bad thing. So, Sforna says, because Yaakov had no money. And he says, Ein safek shelo hoya hatzadik nosi isha lahamid banim. It is no doubt that Yaakov would not have married a woman to have children in lo hoya biyodo lafarnasa if he did not have the ability to support her. Befrat, specifically, b'she'er v'ksus, kamor amzal, knows the Adam kamanoshim, who the Yisraelim make him b'sipukayu. Like it says in Gemara Yevamos, a person can marry many wives. Of course, in the time of the Gemara, there was yet no ban on polygamy, but there was a ethical ban on polygamy, which is you can marry many women if you have the ability to support all of them. And support means all three things, which we'll see in a minute. But sher and ksus is food, flesh, sher is meat, and ksus is clothing. So Sforno says that Yaakov would not have thought of marrying Rachel unless he had these abilities. So perhaps, if we were to go a little more deeper into this, perhaps we could say that the three flocks, imagine, again, you've got this well that has this tremendous access to abundant blessings that could pour out of this well, but it's stopped up with this huge stone. And you look around the landscape and you see these three flocks milling about aimlessly, purposely, because they're waiting to drink, right? So that perhaps represents the three kochos that are in Yaakov in terms of his marriage, right? A married man has three responsibilities to his wife. He has she'er, ksus, and ona. He has to feed her, he has to clothe her, and he has to provide her with sexual attention. That is the man's responsibility to the wife, not the other way around. So Yaakov is looking for a vehicle to overcome his Yetzirah. He's praying to Hashem that he should remain pure spiritually. And then he comes, and then the next scene is there's a well stopped up with this huge stone. That's his Yetzirah. But he has salvation, right? He sees Rachel, he sees his wife-to-be, and he's overcome with the energy to remove the stone. But what's there? What's there is the three keys, share, ksus, and ona. A lot of times people have complaints about their wife. They feel that she's not this and she's not that, and this is her fault, and this is and my problem now is because of that. She's not nice enough to me. She turns me off, whatever it is. And certainly there are more virtuous women and less virtuous women, and there are kinder women and there are more selfish women. There's no question about that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That all may be so, but from the traditional role of the sexes, from the traditional role, it's the man's job to take responsibility and man up. The man is the leader. If the man sets the right tone, then hopefully, unless you're dealing with a very ill person, hopefully when the man sets the right tone, it eventually soothes and calms the whole relationship, and then the woman responds differently too. So a man has to man up. He has to do share, ksus, and ona. He has to provide clothing. He has to provide food. He has to provide sexual attention. That's what he has to do. And that's the way to fight the Yetzer Hara, right? It says in Avos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, Yifei Talmud Torah Im Derech Eretz, Sheyegia Shneim Mishakachas Ovan. That through learning and Derech Eretz, which means, Derech Eretz means the whole gamut. It means what it means to behave like a normal man of the world, a responsible man. A responsible man earns a living. A responsible man takes care of his wife and family. A responsible man supports his wife and family. When you put all that together, Mishakachas Oven, sin is forgotten, right? So you need to daven for help. Of course, you need to daven for help. But boy, you got to work hard. No one worked harder than Yaakov. 7 years, and then another 7 years, and then six after that to finally negotiate a payment structure from Lavan. Gnuv si yom, gnuv si laila, tefilo havesi, right? Yaakov worked day and night for Lavan. He didn't think to himself, oh, it's a bittul Torah. He worked hard. He worked very hard. And he did that because that's what you're supposed to do. And in doing so, that's how he saved himself spiritually. Okay? He also listened, he learned in Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. I'm not saying he didn't also learn in Kolel. He learned in Kolel too. But the end is, his spiritual salvation came from manning up and realizing his responsibilities to his wife and fulfilling his responsibilities by working hard. And by doing that, then he was able to lift the stone away. I'll just end with a Gemara in Shabbos, and Chafayim HaBeis, the Gemara in Shabbos, quotes a pasuk in Eicha that talks about after the Churban, all kinds of peace and joy was lost, and the Gemara discusses what each of these different things would be. Perhaps it's Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, perhaps it's being able to enjoy bathing properly, but one Manda Amar says, Rabbi Abba Omar, Zalmita Mutzas, this is a made bed, V'isha Mekushetes, and a woman adorned, L'Talmid Chachamim, for the Talmid Chachamim. Now, some of the Mefarshim over there in the Gemara learn that it's talking about really everybody, but it's Talmud Chachamim because they were talking about in Shabbos and the Talmid Chachamim had a minhag to only have sexual relations from Shabbos to Shabbos, which, by the way, today is not applicable. People are not the Talmid Chachamim. It's better to be more frequent if you want to manage your Yetzer Hara. But leaving that alone, the Or HaChaim over here quotes this Gemara. The Or HaChaim in Bereishis Chav Tes 18 Yud Ches, where it talks about Yaakov's choice in Rachel and that she was beautiful. Now, see, the interesting thing is, right, with the other Avos, all the Imos were beautiful, but they didn't choose them. Right, so you could just say it was like a gift that Hashem gave. But here the pasuk makes it clear that Yaakov chose Rachel over Leah, and Rachel was beautiful, which certainly, according to the Pshut Lashon Mikra, sounds like Yaakov chose Rachel over Leah because she was beautiful, and that's a new one, right? It's one thing as like a little bonus, a gift that Hashem throws in and gives the Avos a beautiful wife. But here, Yaakov is actually choosing the wrong one, right? He's jumping the order and marrying the younger one over the older one. And it seems like, and there are other pshatim too, so don't get me wrong, but from the pshutos of mikra, it seems like he's choosing her because she's beautiful. So what does the Or HaChaim say? He says, Al derech omrim zal, like according to the Chazal, bedin zivig tamal chacham. It's you know, appropriate. It's justice that tamal chacham should sarach shatilo isha noah. He should have a beautiful woman, keneged Yetzirah, so that he should have some ability to fight the Yetzirah. Perhaps he's also alluding to the fact that Kol Gadol Mechaveru Yetzirah Gadol Imenu Tamid Chachamim, they have very active intellects, very active imaginations, very active egos, and because of that, there's also perhaps a greater taiva, and he's saying they should marry beautiful women, like Yaakov did. By the way, he goes on to say, the Or HaChaim is careful to say, Hagam ki yishtana Yaakov l'mal yusa, shemushal mi Yetzihara. Even though Yaakov himself actually was above Yetzihara, he was already on Tesha Haim HaGetrega, he says, im kol zeh ha-Torah talamad l'odam das. The Torah says it over here to teach you a lesson for everybody else who's not on Yaakov's level. But that's an interesting point. But what I am saying is that the beautiful wife that is coming to a person and that can help a person battle the Yetzer is not an accident. Yaakov earned Rachel and worked hard to keep her. What we all need, you know, the love and affection that we're looking for, is not going to happen by us waiting for her to do the work. It's going to happen by us taking care of our responsibilities and manning up. And that's what, in a nutshell, Yaakov did. Hold on, we're going to shut off the recording.